Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insight into the commandments of God and the hearts of men helped people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, and the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now I want to call your attention to some verses from each chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I have one of my evangelistic sermons built on this text, on soul winning. And I've been preaching that sermon for years. So when I started in here, I thought I'd give you the outline of that and pass on. It somehow got hold of me. This is a wonderful picture. Now remember, the New Testament hadn't been written. So the Lord was guiding men directly in those days. God's servants, those that loved the Lord, the people everywhere were scattered abroad, preaching the word. Persecution came and they were scattered. But here's a man that God spoke to and said, Now I have something for you to do. Did you know God has a job for you to do that nobody else can do? If you don't do that job, it won't be done. I remember one time somebody said to me, you're doing the work of two or three men. I don't see how you do it. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not doing the work of two or three men. Every man's work's his dead level best. If I don't do my job, it won't be done. Nobody can do my job. I can't do anybody else's job. If you don't do what God wants you to do, there'll be an unfinished job throughout all eternity. I'll never forget when that got hold of me, that God had something for me to do, something that he's called me to do, a job he has for me. You know, I think it felt and feel rather sad even in heaven to walk down the streets of gold someday and look around there and say, well, there's a job I didn't finish. It's a wonderful thing to wind up life like Paul did and said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course. I've done what God called me to do. I've done the job that God had mapped out for me. I've written the epistles. I've been the apostle to the Gentiles. I've done the job. You know, I think if we are surrendered to God, that we cannot be killed, we cannot be destroyed until our job's done. If God sends me out on an errand for him, and I go out on the road of his purpose, now I'll get where I started if I'm under God's direction. God protects me. God put protection about Paul. You are immortal till your work's done if you're surrendered to God. Now, don't fool yourself. Be sure you're surrendered to God, and be sure you're doing the will of God. Now, do you think that God would send you out somewhere to speak to a sinner and not let you get to that sinner if he sent you? If God sent you to a sinner and you're willing to go when you're surrendered, you'll get there, and you'll do the job. Now, here's a man that didn't know what God especially wanted him to do, but he knew which way God wanted him to go. So he goes down there and he finds this man, a man of Ethiopia, a man of some prominence under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of her treasures. He was a trusted man. He'd been up to Jerusalem to worship and was coming back home. He was reading Isaiah the prophet and wondering what it all meant. He was hungry. Isn't that sad to have a person to go up to Jerusalem to worship? But remember that Jesus Christ had said that house was left to him desolate. No longer there was a house anything but a desolate house. He rejected him, and he walked out and said, You shall not see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed he come in the name of the Lord. But here he was now. This man had been up to Jerusalem to worship. In a temple that Jesus Christ had walked out of. In a temple that Jesus Christ had declared was desolate. Until he'd come again and they would see him. And they'd look on him whom they pierced, and they should be born today. So as he comes out, this man had been up there to worship, gone long ways, made a hard effort. Isn't it strange? You know, I see people struggling to be Christians. They do this, and they do that, and they do the other. And yet they never get what they want. They never get satisfaction. You know, if you had to earn salvation, you wouldn't ever know when you had it. Say, listen, you can't live long enough to earn it. Suppose you lived 1,000 years and worked for God every day you lived. Do you think you could earn a house up in heaven forever and forever and forever and forever? Do you think you could buy a thing like that? Now, here's a man been up there to worship, a religious man, a devout man, on his way home hungry. didn't understand, even the prophet Isaiah. That prophecy was written with a finger of inspiration over there in the Old Testament. It talked about Jesus because he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. That's in that place. Like a lamb dumb before his shearers, opened not his mouth. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. And he said, what do these things mean here? And he began the scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, yes, you can find Jesus in the Old Testament. You don't have any trouble finding him back there. Go back where the curse came, and God said the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. That's Jesus. Not the seed of the man, but the seed of the woman. A virgin would be the mother of a child, Isaiah said, and that child would bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, yes, you can find him there over and over and over. You can find him in the Psalms. You go back to the Psalms, you'll find about Jesus. You can take the 24th Psalm. You can find Jesus there. You can find him in the 23rd Psalm. You can find him back there in the 22nd Psalm. You can hear the groans of somebody dying on a cross in the 22nd Psalm. You can go back and read 22nd, 23rd, 24th. In the 22nd Psalm, Christ prophetically appears on a cross. In the 23rd Psalm, he's our shepherd. Of course, he's always a shepherd of his people, and even the Old Testament. And then the 24th Psalm, you have him coming in glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up the everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Oh, yes, he was in the Old Testament. So here's a man reading the only Bible he had. New Testament hadn't been finished. Back there in the Old Testament, he said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man guide me? Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Make your contact, Philip. You've got an opportunity there. Here was an opportunity on wheels, and the opportunities of life are on wheels today. Oh, you know, it's a solemn thing to go through this world, be a Christian. Folks around us that are lost, people we could speak to, people we could win to Christ. I look back over the years of my life and think how much I've preached and how many places I've been, but I must have lost a lot of opportunities. Sometimes I've been led to speak to somebody, and I've spoken to them, and sometimes I thought I would speak to somebody and didn't speak to them, and maybe never saw the person again. Wasted opportunity. Go in near and join thyself to this chariot. Opportunity on wheels. Now, wait a minute. You may today be a sinner. You may never have been saved. And this year may be chiseled in the marble slab above your grave. You may have a loved one that's lost, a loved one that's unsaved. And you could win that loved one to Jesus. Did you know mothers and fathers could take their Bibles down and lead their children to Christ? If they would, just sit down and say, I won't talk to you. I'm so thankful that Miss Jones led Bob Jr. to Jesus Christ when he was just 5 years old. I've told you about it. I was preaching in Aurora, Illinois in a big tabernacle campaign, and Bob Jr. and Miss Jones wasn't feeling very well. He was 5 years old that day, and she led him to the Lord that night at home. Yes, parents could lead their children to Christ. The very essential things so many people neglect, you could do that. You could have some neighbors over there unsaved. You don't have to know much to win them to Christ. You can know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's easy to talk to people today. People everywhere are more or less hungry. They hear the gospel on the radio. People are hearing more gospel than they've ever heard before. You know, an evangelistic campaign isn't intended to give the gospel to the people. It's intended to give the word to people, preach the word. You go to an evangelistic campaign, you preach the word. Of course, the gospel's a part of the word. And you're to give the gospel to sinners. But the main business of the evangelist is to preach to saints. To preach to saints, take care of the saints. That's the business of evangelists. When Jesus sent on high, led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints on the work of the ministry. An evangelist is not given to sinners, he's given to the saints. Every Christian is given to sinners. Every Christian is supposed to win somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, an evangelistic campaign is not a successful campaign unless the evangelist stirs up the people of God to win others to Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's important that the evangelist go under the sponsorship of Bible-believing Christians. If he goes under the sponsorship of people that don't believe the Bible, then people that don't believe the Bible are not saved people. And if he goes under that sponsorship and he tells them to go win souls to Jesus Christ, instead of telling them to get saved, that they're lost, they might go out and lead people astray. The business of the evangelist is to perfect the saints. That's the business of a pastor, business of a teacher. To perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's everybody's business to win souls to Christ. It's your business. Don't say, well, he's a great soul winner. A man can be a great soul winner and not be an evangelist. He may be a good evangelist and not be a great personal soul winner. But he'll perfect the saints to win souls to Jesus Christ. I've told you, I think, over the radio, that the best soul winner I know lives in South Carolina. I don't know anybody in the country that wins as many people to Jesus Christ personally as he does. He parked his trailer across here from the school about the first year we were over here. And some of our folks led his wife to Christ, led his little girl to Christ, and he got right with God, and he's a traveling man. And he told me some time ago that there'd never been a day that he hadn't led from 1 to 50 people to Jesus Christ every day since he was converted except 2 days. The 2 days he said he didn't win anybody. But all except those 2 days, all these years, winning people to Christ. He comes in touch with them, wins them. You can win people to Christ. You can be a soul winner. Go at it. You've got a Sunday school class. Get them converted. Don't just sit there and teach them. Don't get them just say, just teach them. Get them converted. Find out if they're saved. If they're not saved, win them to Christ. You can win them to Christ. Now, here's a man going down the road, Dan. Finds a man reading the Bible. God works at both ends of the line. When God sends somebody down the road to do a job, God gets there first and fixes it so he can do the job. You can do anything you ought to do. You can go anywhere you ought to go. You can be anything you ought to be. You can accomplish any purpose that God has for your life. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Anything I ought to do, I can do. If you can't do it, you ought not to do it. If you ought to do it, you can do it. Now you can win somebody to Jesus Christ. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine. You are my witnesses. You're to go out to witness for Jesus Christ. And this man got out of there, found a man reading the Bible, and he ran thither to him. Now we need the direction and guidance and help of God. We need the Lord moment by moment to guide us. Let's yield our lives to him and be what he'd have us to be and do what he'd have us to do. Our Father, bless all who are listening in, Christian people. Help them to go out and win the lost to Christ. Bless the sinners that are listening in. Help them right there by the radio now to trust Christ. They can do it. Help them to trust him. He's able to save. Keep us faithful and lead us and guide us and use us for thy glory. Direct us all of our plans and help us to give Jesus Christ a preeminent place. This man didn't preach the church to this fellow. He preached Jesus to the fellow. The church can't save us. Help us know that Jesus is the only one can save. He can save church members, and so many of them need salvation. Hear us and keep us and lead us and guide us and use us for thy glory. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. A man who went to his heavenly home after more than 70 years of influencing thousands with his compassion for souls and the Word of God. Christian young people who have character and want to grow more of it, who have surrendered to God's will and want to prepare themselves to do it, are attracted to Bob Jones University. If you want that too, contact Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile.